Luke chapter 1. As we think about some of the personalities of Christmas. Now, we're not going to talk about reindeer and Santa. Except in negative context. No. But Christmas is about Jesus, the celebration of Jesus, the coming of the Lord to this earth, when God became flesh, the God-man. But there are some other personalities that God used, and I don't know that we'll be able to look at all of them. There's many. But this morning, Lord willing, we're going to look at a lady named Mary. And so as we think about these personalities, let's read the scripture here in Luke chapter 1. Please notice verse 26. The scripture has just reported to us how that Elizabeth, Zacharias, and Elizabeth are in their old age, and they are miraculously with child. And the child they're carrying is the forerunner of Christ. He is John. And a very special gift to prepare the way for the Messiah. And so that's what we read here about the sixth month in verse 26. It is the sixth month in Elizabeth's pregnancy. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We need your strength this morning. We need you, Lord, to fill the preacher, to be used of you. We need you to speak through your word to our hearts. Lord, I pray for every man, woman, and even child here gathered today, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would convict things in our life that are wrong, that you would encourage us in areas that need to be strengthened, Lord, that you would have your will and way. Lord, if there's someone that needs to trust the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior, oh, that today, Lord, that today might be the glad day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. Oh, that you would help the gospel to be clear. Oh, that you would help Jesus to be exalted. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of a godly young lady as Mary is and was. I thank you for her and how you used her, a regular person who had a tender heart and a usable vessel she was. And Lord, I thank you for that. And it gives us continued encouragement in your usage of our lives as different and yet simple people that we are, that you can use us because it's your strength in us. And Father, I thank you for this, and I ask that you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. As we think about personalities of Christmas, Mary is many times, and idolized. And that's not in any way biblical. She is a human being. But let's notice a few things about her, that she is a woman of virtue, a woman of virtue. And I want you to notice, again, verse 28, as we looked at Luke chapter 1, verse 28, the angel has come to her to give her this very, very special announcement. And the angel came in unto her, the Bible says in verse 28, and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." The angel comes to her and says, "Hey, hi, hi there. Look up here. You are blessed by God. There's something very special that God has for you. You are favored by God. You have gotten God's attention. There's something very special." And so the angel here announces this. And as any normal person would be, they would be shocked. Here's an angel speaking with her. And so verse 29 says, "And when she saw him, she was troubled." I think that's, when we read that, we underestimate the reality of that. Hey, you are favored by God, young lady. God has something special for you. You are a blessed woman. Really? You know, she is troubled. What is this? What is happening here? What is God saying to me? What is this angel going to reveal to me? And she cast in her mind, verse 29, what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary." I'm sure she was trembling, but the angel said, "Fear not." You notice that when God, even through an angel, speaks to man, oftentimes we are brought to a place of humility, to tremble, as we should. We would do well to tremble in the morning when we open our Bible. Let God speak to us. To tremble before His holy word. So Mary trembles here, and the angel says, "Don't be afraid, for thou hast found favor with God." And then the angel goes on to explain what's going to happen here. But I want you to notice, first of all, that Mary was a God-honoring woman. She was a God-honoring woman. The way she lived her life was a way that kept her usable to God. The way Mary was living her life was a way that kept her usable to God. You see, it is possible that she could have disqualified herself from being the candidate that God wanted to use. And I don't just mean in her virginity, although that's extremely important. She was a godly woman in that sense, but she was a godly woman in many ways. She was a woman of a virtuous character. And she was therefore usable to God. You know, can I say this? There is a purpose that God has for each of your lives. Whether you're a young man here or a young lady or whoever you are. God has a purpose, even at different stages. Just talk to Zach and Liz. Just in the beginning of the chapter, right? They were old, well stricken in years, but a godly couple. Faithful, even though they had no child. Faithful to the Lord, serving God. And God accomplished His special plan in their lives and gave them a very special son who was a spokesman for God to prepare the way for the Messiah. What an amazing thing. And so listen to me. You can live your life that keeps you usable to God, or you can damage your life. You can make choices in your life, and especially, but in every stage, but especially in our youth, in our teen years, in our young adult years, when we're trying things out and we're trying to feel out who we are and where we fit in the world. And I'll tell you what, if you follow Christ, you don't fit in the world. Just keep your eyes on Jesus and recognize that he has a purpose for you. Mary was a woman who was set apart for sacred use. Are you? Mary was not a woman that was a corrupt, worldly-minded woman. She was a godly, devoted, humble, virtuous woman. She worshiped the Lord. She loved the Lord. And so she was a woman that was honoring to God. Please go over, if you would, and recognize in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. The Bible says, "But in the great house," or in a great house, "there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Now notice verse 21. "If a man therefore purge himself from these," purge means to cleanse, to get out, to say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to wash it out, kick it out. I'm going to throw it out. I'm going to get it out. "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified," that is, set apart for sacred use, "sanctified and meet." Meet means acceptable, fitting. "Meet for," read those next words, "for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." You see, if you in your life just live your life for yourself, you live your life for your own pursuits, for your own dreams, your own wishes, if you just follow your flesh, follow your heart, you will not be a usable vessel to the master in many of the ways that he would like to use you. You see, it's about making right choices today to keep me usable to God tomorrow. It's about walking in the way that he has for me so that I end up in the place he wants me to be. You know, it's a walk with God. The will of God for your life is not so much a vocation. The will of God for your life is not so much that Pastor Paul would pastor the Victory Baptist Church. The will of God for Pastor Paul's life is that Pastor Paul would walk with God. Because if Pastor Paul is walking with God, Pastor Paul will be what he needs to be. He'll be where he needs to be. He'll say what needs to be said. Because he's walking with God. So young person, don't consider, "Boy, I think God wants me to be a nurse," or and maybe he does. "I think God wants me to be a carpenter," or "God wants me to be a preacher." Amen? It's all right. Consider what God wants for you. Don't just consider what you want for you. Yield your heart. Mary was this kind of woman. She was set apart for sacred use. She kept herself pure, but not only that, she had a heart that was seeking God. She was a God-honoring woman. I want you to realize that she was a sinner, though. She wasn't a perfect woman. She wasn't without flaws. Please notice back in Luke chapter 1, a little later on in the passage in verse 46. Luke 1 and verse 46, it says, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced." Now would you read those next words? "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." In God my Savior. You see, Mary was looking for the Savior. And when she came to understand that she was going to be the instrument that God would use to bring Messiah into the world, she said, "Wow, I magnify the Lord. And she recognized that she needed the Savior. The Savior that she would carry. The one that she was looking for in her life as she was a woman seeking God. And so she was a God-honoring woman. Can I ask you, are you a God-honoring man? Are you a God-honoring man? Are you walking in steps today and throughout this coming week? Are you going to walk in steps that keep you usable to God? None of us are perfect. We all need the Savior. But with a tender heart, we can be a God-honoring man. We can be a God-honoring woman that is cultivating a heart for God. Cultivating a heart and cultivating a lifestyle that pleases the Lord so that we might be favorable to the Lord and a useful vessel for the Master. You see, that's who Mary was, a God-honoring woman. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." 2 Chronicles 16, 9. God is looking for those who he can use, looking for those whose heart is perfect toward him. How is your heart? Are you a God-honoring man? Are you a God-honoring woman? The Bible tells us that favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Proverbs 31:30. And so here's Mary, a God-honoring woman. She was a vessel fit for the Master's use. A godly woman in so many ways. And then I want you to notice also that she was a God-surrendered woman. A God-surrendered woman. Please notice verse 26 again. Here the angel comes to Mary and says, you in verse 27 you're blessed by God. You're going to have a child. She's troubled. She's found favor with God. Then the angel explains, verse 31, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Here is a godly woman who's espoused to Joseph. We know the scriptures. She's already espoused to Joseph. There's already the legal part of the marriage in Bible days. It wasn't like just the verbal kind of agreement in an engagement, like our engagement period. I think engagement periods are very good and all of that, and seeking God's direction and our parents' involvement in protection and guidance and all those things. That's very, very important. But in those days, certainly I'm sure there were arranged marriages where the lady maybe didn't even have any choice in the matter. There are situations like that. But I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. But you know, the espousal period, already she was married in the legal sense, but the marriage had not been consummated. And so she is thinking here that as she understands what the angel is saying, she's like, wow, this is bigger than just Joe and I are going to have a baby down the road. She was recognizing that, hey, this is something special. She says, "I don't understand, Gabriel. How is this going to happen? I don't know a man." She was understanding that what the angel was saying to her was that this is not a normal child. It was sinking into this godly woman who for years had been looking for Messiah to come. And she is realizing that this is, wow, this is awesome. How is this going to happen? She was recognizing this is something bigger than just an earthly couple going to have a child. And so, how shall this be, verse 34, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. You see, Mary was on the right track. She understood this was something awesome, something miraculous. And so she inquired as she thought about this. And the angel says, well, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary, your child's daddy is going to be God. Wow. And the angel says in verse 36, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Amen? It's still true. Luke 1:37 is still in the Bible. And it's as true in Mary's day as it is in our day. With God, nothing shall be impossible. What the Lord willeth shall be. Let's get on with God. Let's get on His page. Let's be a useful vessel to the Master. Mary surrendered. We notice verse 38, Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Here's the surrender. She said, what you've said, let it be. Be it unto me according to thy word. When's the last time you said that to God? Lord, your will. Whatever you have for me, be it unto me according to your will, Lord. Not my desires, not my pursuits, not my goals. You, Lord. You see, we need surrender because there are things that come down life's pike that aren't expected. No pun intended. Mary wasn't expecting this. This was not Mary's plan. Mary had never dreamed about this as a little girl. This was different. This in the beginning stages here brought shame to her. And she had to communicate to her espoused husband. And he was shocked. Here Mary has been away with, after this passage, she goes to Elizabeth's house for 3 months. And the child is coming, forming. And when she comes back to see Joseph, the evidence is there. And Joseph is contemplating what to do. He can't believe this. And of course, the angel comes and helps him understand the miracle that is happening. But Mary was a surrendered woman. She surrendered her will, her plans to God. And I'll tell you, it was hard. Not only in those early stages, but even in life, she struggled there of recognizing who Jesus was. She knew he was special, but realizing that she needed to release him to do his Father's will, remember, even when he was 12 years old. And then, notice, I forget the verse here. I've lost the. Anyway, it talks about how she would suffer and that a sword would pierce through her own heart. You remember that passage? And a sword would pierce through her own heart because of the suffering. She watched this miracle child, the Son of God, Emmanuel. She watched him die on the cross. She suffered. The lot that she surrendered to was a difficult one. But she was a surrendered woman. You know, God's plan for you is different. There's no other woman who's ever been asked to do what Mary did. But what you're asked to do is unique to you in many ways. Are you surrendered? Are you surrendered, man, to the will of God? Notice also, number three, that Mary was a trusting woman. She was a trusting woman. We've seen that she had a faith in the Lord, but please notice verse 39. She is come to visit Elizabeth, and she comes here in verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, that's John, in her womb, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Amazing words that Elizabeth speaks. She understood what God was doing. She understood that this was Messiah, the Son of God. And verse 44, For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now notice what Elizabeth says next. Verse 45, And blessed is she that, next word, believed. Blessed is she that believed. You see, Elizabeth recognized that Mary was a woman of faith. She was a God-trusting woman. Are you? Are you a God-trusting woman? Is God your anchor? Are you going to trust him to fulfill his word like Mary did? Then Mary goes on to say, as the prophets prophesied, Lord, you are doing it. Praise God, glory is your name. She was a woman of faith, a woman of God, a woman that was God-honoring, a woman that was God-surrendered, a woman that was God-trusting. What kind of a woman are you? What kind of a man are you? You can be a God-honoring man. Keep yourself usable to the Lord. You can be a God-surrendered man. Real men surrender to God. Real men are humble men. God-fearing men. That's a man's man. That's a God's man. Are you a God-trusting man? I'll tell you what. When a woman is trusting the Lord, it shows. There's joy in her heart. We see the passage here. Mary is praising God. Notice verse 46 again. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud with the imagination of their hearts. And she just goes on to praise the Lord. Notice verse 54, he hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. As he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And so Mary is praising the Lord. She had joy in her heart. Can I tell you, when a woman is trusting God, there's joy in her heart. When a woman is trusting God, there's peace in her soul, friends. And when a woman, or a man obviously, is trusting God, there is praise on her lips. Let me throw out the contrary. When a woman is not trusting God, there is anger in her life. When a woman is not trusting God, she is distressed. When a woman is not trusting God, there is criticism on her lips. Do you see? Mary trusted God. She was a God-trusting woman. And notice also, please notice, verse 48. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. You know, Mary didn't have much to offer. She wasn't wealthy. She was in poverty, as it were. She was a usable vessel. And she says, the Lord has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Blessed. She was a God-blessed woman. A God-blessed woman. Can I tell you, the greatest thing you or I could ever do is the will of God. The will of God. Andrew, the greatest thing you could ever do is to do God's will. God's will for your life. Isn't that right? John, the greatest thing you could ever do is God's will. Miss Tammy, the greatest thing that you could ever do is the will of God. You see, we just get a few years below, a few years on this planet. God sees it all. He knows it all. He is a God of love and unbelievable depth of purpose. His plan is far better than ours. His way is far beyond ours. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Mary recognized in her youth she was cultivating a heart for God, a heart of faith, a heart that was pure, a life that was God-honoring. That's what she was cultivating. She wasn't perfect. She was a sinner. She needed the Savior, just like you do, just like I did. But she surrendered to God and steps that God brought her to. She surrendered. She kept herself usable and she trusted the Lord. She banked her life on his word. And she was blessed. And she was blessed. Are you going to be a God-blessed man? Are you recognizing your need for the Savior that we are celebrating? Have you recognized that you can't save yourself, but that Jesus left heaven and came and became a man as we celebrate at Christmas, as we celebrate this miraculous birth, the God-man? Have you recognized that he came and died for you? He paid for your sins so that you could spend eternity with him in heaven. He paid the price so you could be delivered. God loves you. His desire for you is that you would be saved. His desire for you after salvation is that you would walk with Him in a holy, separated life, keeping yourself in His power, keeping yourself usable to the Master, a vessel unto honor. Lord, I thank You for the challenge of the testimony of Mary's life over 2,000 years ago. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to apply these truths to our heart. Lord, I pray that You'd help those who have been seeking their own will, who have been focusing on their own desires and their own pursuits instead of what You want, that You'd help them to come to that place of surrender and say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to Thy word." Lord, I want Your will, Your way. Lord, I pray that You would help those. I pray that You would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.